As I was preparing for this portion, looking at these errors, the first thought that came to my mind is, there's nothing new under the sun. This document was written 400 years ago, and yet these same complaints or these same arguments I've heard argued by some in a number of churches. The concern here has to do with the will. Did you notice that? How free is the will? Do we have a free will? Do we have the ability to choose or not to choose? The answer is, what does the Bible have to say? And what is the foundation? And here's the point. What is the foundation from which the will actually works? The focus of those who came and asked to be able to teach, those pastors that were desired to teach contrary to what the church had received, they focused on or exalted the free will of man. They saw that as supreme. And so they came to the scriptures, if you will, and in a sense denied the scriptures. So notice paragraph 3. This is what they teach. This is what they asked to be able to teach in the churches. That in spiritual death, the spiritual gifts are not separate from the will of man. In other words, we all understand that man freely chooses. So what they were saying is that in the fall of man, or as they do acknowledge that Ephesians 2 says, we're all dead in trespasses and sins. They acknowledge that's right there in the Bible. But what they said was, well, that doesn't really affect the will. The will in itself has never been corrupted, only hindered. And that God, notice it, and that these hindrances having been removed, what they were teaching was that God has given grace to every human being. And every human being has the ability to exercise free will that is acceptable to God. The challenge here, or the denial, if you will, the error, as it says, this is an innovation and an error. The error is minimizing the corruption of the will of man. Notice the answer, and I think this is key. The quote from the prophet, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and is exceedingly corrupt." Notice that. It's from the heart that our thoughts and our actions and our attitudes all flow forth. Or another way of saying this is your will is the fruit. Your exercise, your will, is based on what your heart wants, what your heart desires. One author says it this way, your exercise of your will is that which is the most desirable to you at the moment. In other words, you freely choose what is desirable to you. So the question is not the will. The question is the foundation, is where that choice comes from. And it comes from the heart. So then you say, okay, now what does the Bible say about the heart? The heart is deceitful among all things and desperately wicked. Or as God says in Genesis 6:5, every imagination of the thoughts of the heart are only evil all the time. What does it say? That the heart is constantly involved with idolatry, as Calvin would say. That our hearts pursue, delight in what is evil. And so what do we choose to do? Well, if I delight in something, I choose to do that. I pursue that. I say that that's a good thing, no matter what God says. And so the point is, it's not the will, it's the heart. And God says our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts are, unless God changes the heart, unless God does spiritual heart surgery, then our wills are corrupt. And our choices are in rebellion to God. Again, paragraph 4. The unregenerate man is not really nor utterly dead in sin. So the unregenerate is not dead. They're just sick. They need a remedy. They need something, they need to take some medicine, and then they'll get better. And this is a bold-faced denial of the clear teaching of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 3, in Romans chapter 5, and other places, as you see in the response. In Genesis 6:5 and in 8:21, we just quoted that, but also Ephesians chapter 2. We, and Paul includes himself, we all were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the natural man. That's where we're born. We're born dead. And it's not just simply hindrance. It's death. We're separated. Another place, Scripture says, it is our sins that separate us from God. That's the natural state of man in Adam. It is only because of grace. It is only through the work of Jesus Christ and the application by the Holy Spirit that a dead person can be brought to life. And in that process, we're given a new heart. The Holy Spirit does heart surgery, and we become living children of God. So again, these two requests to teach contrary to the Bible, I think, was because of a misguided emphasis on the choices, the free choices of human beings. We don't deny that we freely choose to do things, but we do focus on what does God say about the source of those choices, and they're only evil all the time. That's why we need Jesus. Amen.